One or two voice notes if we can. Or just one voice note speaking about the topic that we've been discussing, and I'm very curious to hear your perspectives. It plays into the discussion we're going to have with Dr. Stott.
It's Teresa Kirsanoff. I'm not scared of dying, but I'd like to die the way my body is still all in order, because I'm donating every single organ to research. My stem cells, my heart, my eyes, because I'm a fit and healthy 70-year-old, still running marathons, and I'd like to donate this to UCT, or I'm a body donor, so yeah, I'm still will be on this earth with my heart and my lungs, so my children will feel me.
Yes, yes, Teresa. I'm so glad to hear that, and it's a very generous donation that you're making in terms of your own person, and at the same time, well done on staying healthy and ensuring that you stay in one piece. The fear of death, the fear of catching COVID, the fear of dying alone, by the way, if you recall, at the peak of COVID, the frustration with not being able to see one another, the loneliness, the frustration of watching your children being unable to really get the social cues that are required by being at school, being unable to express themselves through sport, and of course, the financial burden of not being able to earn appropriately or at all in some cases, were all things that contributed to mental health pressure during the past 2 years. Liberty's Chief Medical Officer, Dr. Dominique Stott, joins us this morning to discuss how they've seen that come through in their own numbers. Dr. Stott, thank you so much for joining us. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Ms. Uwe. Thank you for having me.
Certainly. Depression is a big part of the mental health claims that you saw in your company, 45% of all mental health claims. Won't you help us understand, you know, obviously it's aggregated, so we're not, I believe, breaching anything here, but won't you help us understand a little bit more about how that came about, in your opinion?
You know, the mental health claims that we saw certainly during 2021 mirrored the one of the crises, one of the spikes in the COVID epidemic, and obviously that is because of what you've mentioned, the uncertainties and the anxieties around COVID itself. Mm. There were, of course, people who had underlying mental health disorders who would then, it would resurface in a more severe form because of the uncertainties. People who would otherwise have coped could have found themselves not being able to cope because of the loneliness, the isolation, and the uncertainty. There is a certain stigma attached to mental health disorders in South Africa, which causes them to be hidden. People don't acknowledge it, and then when there is a crisis, it kind of explodes within themselves into something that could have been managed had they acknowledged it. And we do find this in the insurance industry as well, that to acknowledge it up front is a very good idea. It brings it out into the open. These, together with things like substance abuse and domestic violence, are all factors that have led to this, what we feel was a spike in mental health problems.
Sure. A number of the others, schizophrenia, dementia, and the like, were also mm-hmm. those that kind of presented themselves. Are those conditions that can be exacerbated by a stressful situation like COVID?
Not dementia. No, dementia would be there regardless. People who are going to develop dementia for whatever reason, it's going to happen. Schizophrenia could possibly be precipitated, or certainly a breakdown or a relapse could be precipitated by high stress levels, not having access to your medications, not having access to healthcare facilities in order to manage the condition adequately. And this was all prevalent during COVID as well. As we know, in lockdown, people weren't afforded the opportunities to be followed up, not only for chronic disorders like schizophrenia, but other health disorders too, the cancers, the heart attacks, all those other conditions. There's spikes in their as well.
Dr. Stott, one of the things, you know, we always speak about the ones that you've just mentioned that I suppose one can say are the sinless disorders. But there's something that you touched on a little bit earlier, like the ways that we self-soothe that aren't necessarily so healthy. One of the things that we used to be discussed quite early by a number of our listeners in the pandemic and the lockdown itself was the sudden break from cigarettes and alcohol. Even if one doesn't think that it's particularly noble to be addicted to alcohol or cigarettes, there are people whose conditions were tempered by those and suddenly not having access. For example, if I were a heroin addict and cigarettes were the only way that I, you know, was able to manage that, suddenly you snatch that away. If not necessarily in a positive way, alcohol was the only way that some people were able to survive, you snatch that away. You know, from a medical perspective, what kind of impact do you think that had on people, addicts, true addicts, whose, functioning was interrupted?
I think that the using a substance to cope with underlying mental health problems is never a good idea. So using alcohol or other drugs and substances to cope, that could only lead to further problems.
For sure.
However, possibly you're right. Possibly taking it away suddenly, rather than having a graduated decrease in the amount, together with some pharmacological assistance. You know, there are medications which help people to get over the cravings for alcohol and for smoking, could have led to better outcomes in some circumstances, I'm sure. The cold turkey approach has to be monitored by preferably a medical health professional, certainly with the alcohol. Doing cold turkey for somebody who suffers from alcoholism is a dangerous place.
Certainly. One other thing, sorry, in terms of the impact of mental health pressures, is the proportion of suicides that increased significantly last year. 5.8% of deaths versus almost doubled from 2.6% in 2020. Massive claims being paid out by Liberty, some almost 3.5 billion rand. Won't you help us understand? And you know, we should get a suicide number, a suicide help number up. But we had these interviews a lot as well. But what was your experience of this?
You know, suicide is a huge problem in South Africa. We know this. There have been figures quoted. Anything between 20 and 25 South Africans commit suicide daily. So this is a number that is very scary, obviously worsening during times of high anxiety and high mental health like the last pandemic period. I think we have to remember in the context of, in the world context, that, there's about 6% of people worldwide who have a mental health condition of some sort, which could potentially lead to suicide anyway. About 20% of people in South Africa will have depression at some point in their lives. These are figures that are alarming. And in the context of the provision of mental health medical assistance, South Africa lags quite significantly behind the rest of the world. We have about one psychiatrist per 100,000 people in South Africa. Whereas in the Northern Hemisphere, where the mental health professionals are more numerous, it's much higher. It's been quoted Norway, for example, has about 50 psychiatrists per 100,000 population. So our lack of psychiatrists in South Africa and mental health professionals of all kinds, together with the fact that they are concentrated in the metropolitan areas, means that the people who need this assistance are not getting it, which is a tragedy because the outcome can be the suicides, and that's the ultimate tragedy in any mental health issue.
Definitely. Dr. Dominic Stott, this has been really insightful, helpful, and supportive. Thank you so much for this conversation. Dr. Dominic Stott is Liberty's Chief Medical Officer, and obviously at the coalface of assisting us in getting through these issues.